is Matt Connickson. I'm a sales agronomist with CHX Ag Services in Oakley, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHX Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson, along with Randy Conan and Melissa Hammer. Retiring Senate Ag Committee Chair Debbie Stabenow finally released her 1,397-page farm bill text early Monday. In a press release, Stabenow says this is a strong bill that invests in all of agriculture, helps families put food on the table, supports rural prosperity, and holds that coalition together. Stabenow's bill includes $20 billion to strengthen the farm safety net, tackles the climate crisis by locking in the dollars from the Inflation Reduction Act, and includes $8.5 billion to help families make ends meet. With Stabenow retiring at the end of the year, it appears the Michigan senator wants to pass the legislation under her watch.
The National Pork Producers Council is disappointed with Stabenow's farm bill text. Stabenow's proposal does not address California's Proposition 12, which mandates specific housing standards on pork production. Without that language, NPPC President Lori Stevermer said the Stabenow proposal is not a viable option.
It appears the Minnesota House will end up with a 67-67 tie between the Republicans and the DFL. One district remains up in the air, with a recount happening on Thursday. If the recount doesn't change the even split in the House, a power-sharing agreement will need to be adopted.
A weather system is set to move into the region beginning tomorrow. Grand Forks National Weather Service meteorologist Tyler Thomas says rain will be more prevalent than snow.
Not your typical winter system here. We're going to start out with a pretty prolonged period of not heavy thunderstorm rain, but not drizzle, I should say. See that moving into the Southern Valley down near the Wahpeton-Fargo area tonight, sometime after sunset, maybe in that 6 to 9 p.m. time frame. Spreading north through the rest of the valley by midnight, and then should see a transition to snow probably out in the Devil's Lake area by mid-tomorrow afternoon, sometime around that 3 p.m. time frame, and then across the west of the rest of the area by that 6 to midnight time frame as you head east. So right now we do currently have a winter weather watch out for the better part of the Devil's Lake basins.
This particular system won't cure the dry ground conditions.
Currently, to bring ourselves out of drought, we need somewhere in the range of 6 to 9 inches within, I think, about a month time period. Obviously, with this system, we're looking at maybe an inch, inch and a half of moisture. So not going to cut into that deficit massively. But obviously, any moisture is good moisture at this point that we will absolutely take it. We're not particularly looking at blizzard-type impacts from this event, but the potential for wind gusts in excess of 35, 40 miles an hour on the backside come that Wednesday time frame is certainly there. So while we might not have a blizzard warning out at any point during this event, chances are blowing snow is potentially going to reduce visibility throughout the duration of the day on Wednesday. So be on the lookout for that if you're traveling.
National Sunflower Association Executive Director John Sandbachen says the harvest has moved along very well.
The weather we've had has been great. A little bit of rain delays here and there, but overall, I'd say, you know, last week I think USDA had us at around 81% complete, but after this week, we should be in that low 90s and, you know, getting close to wrapping things up here. And so far, the quality has been excellent. You know, good test weight, oil content not quite as high as we've had the last couple of years, but still very respectable. Yields, you know, in areas where they didn't have any kind of weather issues, like either drowned out or some wind damage, you know, it's been right around in that ton to 2,500 pound range, which is excellent for sunflower. And, you know, other areas are, you know, where we did experience some weather difficulties, probably a little bit lower at 1,200 to 1,500 pounds.
Sandbachen says the lower acres of sunflowers has created strength in the market.
Well, you know, on old crop, we've seen a really nice uptrend in prices. We've gained, you know, since our market low, we've gained about $6 to $7 a hundredweight. So, you know, very happy with that. And even on the new crop side here, now we picked up about a couple dollars a hundredweight here just in the last couple weeks. And it's one of those things where, you know, we have some pretty decent stocks starting this market year, but we had reduced acreage in 2024, less production, so the market is, you know, kind of coming to grips with that and adjusting prices to, you know, build some inventory.
With harvest mostly wrapped up, North Dakota State University livestock system specialist Carl Hoppe says farmers are weaning their calves. Backgrounding is popular this year.
You know, previously we always used to wean cattle in October,
but that means we were calving in March, and we've switched to April, May calving, so we wean calves a little bit later now, too. So now it's weaning opportunities, and then the question is do we background cattle or do we just sell them? Price of calves is really good, but the price of corn is really cheap, and if you're used to feeding cattle and getting them healthy, putting a little feed into them, getting them through the weaning stage, putting a little extra weight onto them, selling them after the first year, that's a consideration made for backgrounding. So we have some videos that we just put up at our NDSU website on backgrounding calves.
Backgrounding gives the opportunity to get calves through weaning before selling them.
Most of our feed yards want to have pre-vaccinated calves. This provides an opportunity to vaccinate and feed and get them used to a feed bunk. Way back when, they used to be called a VAC program. It's a pre-weaning conditioning type program. The other thing with backgrounding, it provides an opportunity to delay marketing. So rather than taking today's price, we can take a price later on. The next thing is it adds weight to the cattle. So if you're selling 5-weight calves, maybe you'd be selling 6 or 7-weight calves. The other option is to, rather than putting on this year's tack income, it would be on next year's tack. The other thing is, if you raise your own feed and you have your own corn side, your own corn, this is a way to add some value to your crop as well as your cattle.
USDA's National Ag Statistics Service will contact farmers nationwide to gather final year-end crop production numbers and the amount of grain and oil seeds stored on farm. NAS will also survey grain facility operators to determine year-end grain and oilseed stocks at commercial facilities. These surveys will have a direct impact determining disaster assistance program calculations. NAS cannot publish a county yield unless it receives enough reports from producers in a county to make a defensible estimate. Get the latest news and weather updates anytime by listening to the Red River Farm Network podcasts. Listen at rrfn.com and most anywhere you get your podcasts. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. North Dakota State University Extension livestock economist Tim Petrie says there's strong demand for calves across the region this year despite seasonal pressures.
Interestingly enough, on calves, we have seen a counter seasonal move upward, usually at this, since I last talked to you, in October, and then into November is a tough time to sell calves. There are a lot of them coming to market, these balling calves and so on, and they usually go down until right at the end of the year when they get sparked with Corn Belt cattle buyers, and then they tend to be weaned and so on. But this year we've seen an increase in the last month, which is positive for those selling calves.
Petrie says the short supplies aren't the only thing helping this calf market right now.
But what really has sparked the calf market is first of all, the lower supplies, but it's that the Corn Belt buyers have came into the market earlier than normal, because the harvest went along really well, like it did in North Dakota, so they're ahead of schedule. And when corn prices are low, those Western Corn Belt feedlots that sometimes feed to slaughter weight, they sometimes background, they decide to put their corn through cattle instead of selling. When corn is $7, you know, they're small enough they can leave their lot open, so they just aren't really interested in calves.
Breaking news here, the West Central Ag Services Board of Directors is proceeding with its merger with CHS. The decision was delayed after the Arthur Companies publicly highlighted its bid for West Central Ag Services. Board Chair Dwayne Brendemuhl.
We met as a board last week. We had both CHS and Arthur Companies in to present their proposals. We postponed the original vote, you know that. That was due to Arthur changing their bid, so we wanted to give a fair proposal, do what's right for the member patrons, and get all the information we could. And after getting that and analyzing it, we had a third party help assist on the analyzing, and we just decided that CHS had a superior offer, and we decided that that's the offer that we're going to take before the patrons.
West Central Ag Services members will vote on November 26th. A two-thirds majority of those voting is needed to move forward with the merger. Brendemuhl explains the reasoning behind the decision.
big one is the patronage capabilities with going with CHS. In the analysis, and you factor in a price on it, on what that patronage would be in the future earnings, and it, you know, that increased it quite a bit. There was certainty of getting the deal done. There was a lot of stuff on the provisions on the Arthur bid that were yet to be decided. It was going to take some time. Also, the treatment of the employees, they were, employees are guaranteed, you know, every employee is guaranteed for a year with the CHS, and there was no plan on the Arthur side.
Meanwhile, the Arthur companies have town hall meetings planned this week across the region to explain its bid.
USDA's weekly export inspections report for the week ending November 14th shows 821,000 metric tons of corn were inspected for export. That's 3% more than the previous week and 35% more than the same week a year ago. 2.16 million metric tons of soybeans were inspected for export, 8% less than the previous week, but 33% more than a year ago. Wheat export inspections of 196,000 metric tons are 44% less than the previous week and 48% less than last year. For the marketing year, corn and wheat inspections are 31% ahead of last year's pace, and soybeans are running 9% more than a year ago.
Bauer trading market analyst Ben Cash says traders are adding war premium into the wheat market.
Yeah, what we're seeing here is some tensions in the Black Sea region flaring up. That's why we have crude and the wheat market adding some premium. It sounds like you know, the Biden administration gave Ukraine the go-ahead to use U.S. Weapons in internally there in into Russia to attack Russia. So that's an escalation, you know, there for the Black Sea region. So we're starting to see some risk premium built back into the oil, the energy market, as well as the grain markets here.
Go to the Red River Farm Network's website, rrfn.com. You can sign up for the weekly Farm Net News e-newsletter. That e-newsletter hits your email box, or hits your email every Monday. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. University of Minnesota West Central Research and Outreach Center Director Mike Reese, who is also the green ammonia research lead, says green ammonia can help be a solution for nitrogen fertilizers in Minnesota.
Nitrogen fertilizer sales in Minnesota are significant, close to, you know, anywhere from $500 million to $1 billion annually in sales. Urea is increasing in consumption, and ammonia is decreasing in consumption, but still significant. And putting this in perspective, Minnesota ranks fourth nationwide in corn production, has significant small grain production, which all utilize nitrogen fertilizer. So I believe it's an elegant solution for Minnesota. When you can take wind or solar energy, use water to electrolyze or to produce hydrogen, electrolyze water, produce hydrogen, pull nitrogen from the air and put them together to form nitrogen fertilizer.
This isn't the only thing that green ammonia can be used for.
We envision green ammonia going beyond nitrogen fertilizer, crossing sectors and coupling those sectors together. So I think ammonia does have green ammonia does have a transformative impact. It enables the hydrogen economy. It allows us to move into other areas using green ammonia for thermal energy, for energy storage, for producing other forms of fertilizers, urea, ammonium nitrate, things of that nature, but also enables the hydrogen economy. So we're able to mass manufacture electrolyzers, get that industry to a point where it's cost competitive, so we can go into sustainable aviation fuel, green iron, and other applications.
Checking quotes, December wheat Minneapolis is up 13 and 3 quarters to 585 and 3 quarters. December wheat Chicago up 12 and a half cents, 549 even. Kansas City's December hard red winter wheat's up 15 and 3 quarters cents, 555 and 3 quarters. December corn up 4 and a half to 428 and a half. January soybeans up 7 and a quarter cents, 1005 and 3 quarters. In Winnipeg, January canola is down 60 cents per metric ton, 646.10 Canadian. December live cattle is up $1.05 at 184 even. February is up 72 cents. April live cattle up 75 cents. January feeders up $2.30 to $2.4952. March feeders up $3. May up $3 as well. December lean hogs up 47 cents, $79.97. February's up 35 cents. April lean hogs up 55 cents. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.